Let us pray. Father, we thank you for another wonderful opportunity, Lord, to hear you speak. And I pray, O Lord, that you will anoint our ears to hear you correctly, and our hearts, O God, to have a deeper understanding of what you are saying to us. Lord, I pray that the words of today will be such that none of our lives will ever be the same again, in Jesus' name. Lord, we'll have a deeper understanding of you. And as a result of that understanding, O God, you'll be working with us at a higher level than ever before, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We are looking at the perfecting or the equipping of the saints. It's a topic we started last week. And we took our text from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And we read from verse 11 to 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. And his gifts were varied, he himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, that is special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, and the completeness found in him. I remember I told us that the Bible already refers to us as saints, the perfecting of the saints. So everyone who comes to God and give their life to Christ and say, Jesus is now my Lord, the Bible refers to you as a saint. And I think this is the point where a lot of people misunderstand things. Even though the Bible calls us saints, he then says that God has put the church in place, and in the church we have the fivefold ministry gifts. And the Bible says the purpose of these gifts is to equip the saints or to make them perfect. And we said last week that for us, most of us understand, once you say somebody is a saint, you already ascribe perfection to them. Am I right? And we said our sainthood can be likened to the miner who goes to dig the ground for gold. What he finds there, the moment he finds it raw, is called gold. And then that gold can be refined further until you attain a level of purity. But at every stage, you still call it gold. This is for us to be aware that God is doing something or wants to do something in our lives, and that God has a destination or a final outcome that he has for every one of us. And the final outcome of God for every one of us is that we come to a point, and I like the way King James Version actually puts it, is that we all come to a point. Let me read verse 13. He said, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, until each and every one of us become like Jesus Christ, the Lord will perfect his work in you in Jesus' name. And we said, if we are going to be so equipped that we are going to become like Jesus Christ, if we are going to become perfect, like the Bible expects of us, because the state of perfection is the state of Jesus. We said there are a few things to attend to, or there are a few things that has to be the state of our lives. First, we said we have to make God our sufficiency. In other words, we cannot be like the world using worldly criteria to measure our success or our successes. Jesus has to become our sufficiency. So in other words, the best thing that can happen to our lives is Jesus. A lot of times when you talk about the things of God, I've heard people make expressions like, do they pay people? They don't. Do they pay you? Do you get money from it? When you hear such expression, it means to such people, where you are paid is the ultimate. So in other words, if you are not paid, then it's of lesser importance. We said this sufficiency should be in the area of our spiritual being. And I like the song we sang, the hymn we sang today. Because without the grace of God, we will miss the mark. If we are going to go by works, the Bible says the best of the works of our hands is like a filthy rag. So none of us will be qualified. So if God says, I've saved you, if God says, I've redeemed you, why should you be in doubt as to the completeness of your salvation, as to what God has already done in your life? So he has to be our spiritual sufficiency. He has to be our emotional sufficiency, because he's able to comfort us. In other words, when you are going through something and a brother and a sister comes and tells you, look, the word of God says this, let your heart rest upon that word of God. Let it be sufficient enough for you to hold and to uphold your emotions. Be careful what you say in your moment of need, because things may get so tough and somebody comes with the word of God and says, look, the word of God says this. Don't allow what you are going through at this time to define who you are, but let the word of God define you. Remember to hold on to his word, because his words are ever true. So let God be your emotional sufficiency. Let him be, you know, let God be your even physical sufficiency in terms of your needs. In terms of your needs, the word still works, and the word will work for you in Jesus' name. Of course, we talked about the need for us to share God's agenda for our lives. In other words, we said to be of one mind is called holiness. To be of one mind with God is called holiness. So if God says this is who you are and what you are, yours is to simply agree with God and walk in the realm and in the consciousness of what God says you are. We said the reason for this is for the fact that God has your best interest at heart. Remember, He has His thoughts and plans for you to bring you to that perfect ending. We said, remember those of old. Hebrews 11:34. Everyone, all the people in that hall of faith, fame of faith, in that book of the Bible, Hebrews 11, the Bible said, in their weakness they were made strong. So irrespective of what you may be going through, irrespective of how you see yourself, the power of God is able to change your life and change your destiny. And God can make something awesome out of your life. Don't allow your thoughts to limit you. You don't have to be someone else to be who God wants to make you. Praise the Lord. We also said we need to learn to appreciate. Gista alluded to that in her testimony. He said God only understands why we go through some of the things we go through. And I'm telling you, just like you, sometimes they are meaningless to me. Sometimes I don't even understand. Some things will happen, you will not even understand why God, why that will happen. Remember, it is of faith. Remember that our walk with God is what? Is of faith. That is where faith comes in. If we already know, if we can calculate, if we can already predict, then we don't need faith. Because the world is not ready to live by faith. That's why things keep going wrong after they have calculated everything. They may, you know, and they think everything is working well. Suddenly they will bring out one statistics and they say the whole world is in trouble. You see, just when the world is saying, oh, we are getting out of this, they will now tell you it's triple hump recession. Quadruple hump recession. The Lord will deliver you from recession, oh. Praise the Lord. So, learn to appreciate God's way of doing things. And I think we ended with Psalm 30 verse 5. He says, weeping may endure for the night, but your joy will come in the morning. 30 verse 5. That time that things are hard, difficult for you, maybe your night time. Remember, just like day will follow night, your victory, which Jesus has already obtained for you, will follow your night in Jesus' name. The other thing that is similar to the last thing I mentioned is that you need to take on the yoke of Jesus. If there's any yoke or burden to carry, and it should not be a burden anyway, we should gladly do it. Because by the time we see it as a burden, then our service may not, our worship may not be acceptable unto Him. Because we have to serve the Lord with what? With gladness. I've shown us before. Take on the yoke of Jesus. If there's any to bear in this world, if there's anything to preoccupy your mind, let Jesus preoccupy your mind. Let the things of God preoccupy your mind. Somebody gave this, it's a recipe for success. is a recipe for victory. And somebody gave this analogy. The reason why you have to carry Jesus all your life. Somebody gave this analogy. You remember when Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem. How did he get to Jerusalem? Amen. He entered triumphantly riding on what? On a donkey. Praise the Lord. And somebody gave this analogy. He said, on that day when Jesus was riding on that donkey, entering Jerusalem, and people were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, and worshiping, giving God the glory. Jesus was being given the glory. Was the donkey taking part in it? Yes, now. I will tell you how. What did people do? They removed their clothes and they put it on the floor. And the donkey too rode on it. He walked upon people's clothing. He partook of the glory of God. And the person said, can you imagine after Jesus came down from that donkey? Did you see anybody spreading clothes? Did we even hear anything about the donkey anymore? No, we never knew what happened to the donkey. So is anyone that abandons God? The presence of God in your life will make him an expression of his glory. Will make you an expression of his glory. Because when people see the glory of God and they say, praise the Lord, there is no way that will not rub upon your life. But the moment you abandon God, let me tell you something, you'll be put aside. You will not be put aside in Jesus' name. That's where, you see, somebody will have said, that donkey, see the load. Maybe Jesus was like 80 kilograms and was riding on that donkey. And they say, 80 kilogram man on a small donkey. But the donkey was participating on the glory. When you don't allow the, when you allow the things of God to preoccupy your life, the Lord will cause you to shine. You will shine in Jesus' name. That's why I like Paul. Open to Acts chapter 26 verse 19. I like Paul. Those who know this secret, many of the things we are praying for, we may not need to pray as hard if we know this secret of embedding ourselves in the Lord and making sure that we are never separated from him. Acts 26 verse 19. Paul was speaking. He said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And I like Paul for that. We all can remember the story of Paul's conversion on his way to Damascus. As soon as he met the Lord, he became blind for a season. Prophet Ananias came and prayed for him. He regained his sight. And what happened? From that moment, he had a roundabout turn. He never went back to his people again. He never went back to his colleague again. What did he do? He went away. In fact, if you read his account, he said he went to Arabia. For a space of how long? 3 years. He separated himself unto the Lord. That's why he could boldly say, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. In other words, the moment he found out the truth, Jesus became his yoke, became his own. That was all he cared for. Paul was talking about Martha. Jesus was talking about Martha. You remember Mary and Martha? He told Martha, he said, you care a lot about too many things. You care a lot about too many things. It was not the fact that Martha was cooking. I've told us before, not because she was cooking that day, but because she cared about too many things. The Bible said, no man that worrieth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world, that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. When you get entangled too much with the things of this, for the things of the of God. But Mary, on the other hand, loved the yoke of the kingdom. He seeks to, if we are going to please God, we must learn to pay attention to the word of God. Philippians 4, verse 9. My version may be different from yours. He said, keep putting into practice all you learned from me and saw me doing. That was Paul writing to the Philippians. He said, keep putting into practice. In other words, when we hear the word of God like this, that is how we attain perfection in the Lord. When you hear the word of God like this, begin to do it. Don't postpone it. Don't think of examples of people who are not doing it and it looks like they are prospering. Never. One of the biggest challenges of Christianity today is culture. The current culture is one of the biggest challenges that we have as a people of God. But culture will never change the word of God. We are the ones to change our culture to meet with the word of God. He said, keep putting into practice all you learned from me and saw me doing. In other words, keep putting into practice the word of God that you are hearing today. Of course, some people will think because they are putting the word of God into practice, nothing will go wrong as far as human beings can understand or can see. It will look like things are going wrong. But let me tell you something. As we learn in the Sunday school, you can always go back to God and say, Lord, I remember, let me give you an example. I remember a sister who was an SU. She was very fervent as a student. She kept herself, she did. She has always known God. When she got married, she had some difficulties. And she always go back to God and say, Lord, but you know how I have lived my life for you. And I'm telling you, when you call on God that way, God will answer you. I say, God will answer you in Jesus' name. It is not too late. If we make based on the word of God, if we start to do things differently, God, will honor your faithfulness. I want you to open the Bible to the book of Job. We'll read a few things from Job today. Job chapter 36. Job 36. We are going to read verse 5. Job 36 verse 5. And I like the way he puts it. He says, behold, God is mighty, and yet despises no one, nor regards anything as trivial. He is mighty in power of understanding and heart. Praise the Lord. The Bible makes you and I to understand this morning that God does not regard anything as trivial. In other words, God will never regard your welfare as trivial. If you will bear the yoke of Jesus Christ, God will never regard your health as trivial. God will never regard your welfare as trivial. He will never regard the state of your home and your marriage as trivial. He will never regard your children as trivial, as mighty as he is. The Bible says his understanding is so big, his understanding is so deep that nothing escapes his attention. Your life will not escape his attention in Jesus' name. That area of your life where you are pleading, to God to intervene, will not escape his attention today in Jesus' name. He does not regard anything as trivial. It's people who will say that is not important. If we will be committed to him, if we will only serve him, as you open your mouth and say, God, just turn your searchlight in this area of my life, you will see him at work. My wife just shared a testimony with us concerning somebody we went to visit. And this guy, within 1 week, God will turn his attention to your affairs in Jesus' name. Because he can only perfect it. Yours is this. 1 Corinthians 15:58. He said, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully. Who has NIV? I just read NIV now. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully. That's all that you need to do. Give yourself fully to the Lord. The God who has such a great understanding that nothing escapes him. He knows what is happening in your life. We cannot live like people who have no God. Number 5. Be flexible to the word of God. Remember, we are talking about perfecting the saint or equipping the saint. Be flexible to what? To the word of God. Allow the word to change you. Be a good ground for the sowing of the word. Romans 12, verse 2. You know, I like reading that particular verse. And I like reading Amplified Version because it catches the essence for me. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Allow the word of God to change you. Allow the word of God to change you. You won't believe that sometimes, honestly, I've asked myself, so many times I've asked myself, since I became a Christian, what is different about me? What is it that is different, now different about me since I became a child of God? What is it that I used to do that I no longer do because I know Christ? What is it that I was not doing that I now do because I know Christ? Remember, I was talking to you about the Dead Sea this morning. And I asked you, why is the Dead Sea called the Dead Sea? We said it's because things flow into the Dead Sea and nothing flows out of it. So it becomes so concentrated with salt, so much so that nothing can live in it. So is a child of God that is not a channel of blessing to other people. When you like receiving from people and you never give, you are like the Dead Sea. Let the word of God change you. And the reason why many of us cannot give is because we are afraid of tomorrow. We are afraid what, you know, if I don't save enough, if I don't make this provision, if I don't do this, if I don't do that, where will I, you know, will I, do you know what they have? Do you know this? And I'm telling you, we share with us, by strength shall no man prevail. I've studied it very well, and I can give you, at least from my own personal experience, the most brilliant people in class, they don't necessarily become the most wealthy people. They don't necessarily become the wealthiest people. Do you agree with me? Most brilliant people, we just There's a job waiting for them. They go through school. They succeed. They do well. They most of the time, they don't become multimillionaire business people. It's usually, if you look back, the people who struggle in your class, they are the ones who are making it big time. By strength shall no man prevail. I'm not discouraging hard work. By the grace of God, I've done my own hard yakka, praise the Lord, and I'm doing it. But the truth about it is this: we need the God factor in our lives. That's why we have to yield to the word of God. When you hear the word of God, let it change you. Bring the God factor into your life. Romans 12 verse 2. He said, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. One of the most superficial customs today is appearance. Everything is about appearance. Do you know that some people, they will never allow you to visit them except they have put on their makeups? They are so artificial that you cannot, if you are going to visit them, if they have not already put on their makeup, they will tell you not to come. Am I right? No, I'm telling you, they just have to. Everything is about appearance. There's nothing deep within anymore. We cannot live like that. Everything is about show and presentation. I'm not saying good presentation is not nice, but that is not the essence of our being. That's not the essence. There is something there should be something deeper within. That's why I like it when you sing that song, I bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you need. You search for something much deeper within. The Lord will find you worthy in Jesus' name. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Talking about superficiality, I see it a lot. You know, I see it a lot. Some people who have never spoken to their family member for 5 years, that family member can never ask them to do anything for them and they will oblige. Let's say some doctor made a mistake and something happened to that family member, they will be in front of TV. They will even cry more than anyone else. They've not greeted this person for 5 years, they never helped that person. It's also superficial. They don't really love that person, because if you love that person, you will have been in contact with them. If you want to love me now before I die. If I die and you start crying, you are wasting your time. Love the people around you. Now is the time. Stop being superficial. If you see, if somebody offends you, go to them, tell them. Stop being superficial about it. If you don't love me now, when will you love me? Praise the Lord. Because God cannot perfect you if He cannot instruct you. If that perfecting that we are talking about is to take place, God must be able to instruct you. That same place we read in Job. Let me show you something there. Job 36. Let's go back to Job chapter 36. I will show you something in verse 15. Be flexible. He said, He delivers the afflicted in their affliction and opens their ears to His voice in adversity. Did somebody hear that? My sister, that's the answer for you. He says, he delivers the afflicted in their afflictions and open their ears to his voice in what? In adversity. Sometimes we are so busy with the issues of life, we are running around like matter, just going all over the place. And let me tell you something. If you would just listen to the word of God, he says, in that moment that it looks like things are so difficult for you, why don't you ask God? He said, Father, what is your plan in this situation? Because he says, he will deliver you. As for deliverance, he will deliver you. He says, he opens your ears in what? In adversity. When things are tough, ask him. Just try to listen to the Lord. He has something to say to you. Do not be so wise that the word of God cannot make you change your mind or plan. Don't get to that point ever, that you are so wise and then you hear the word of God come forth and say something different. Please change your... It may be long. Remember, it says there is a way. We read it twice in the Sunday school. There is a way that seems good unto man, but the end of is what? Is death, destruction. It may look good. It may look good right now. Now it may look all perfect. Please, let's learn to seek the face of God. We are not just ordinary people. We are what? We are spirits. We have a soul and we live in a body. We are spiritual beings. Let's stop selling ourselves short. Let's stop living like ordinary people. Because what's going to make the difference between you and someone who does not know God is the counsel of God for your life. Just because you had God, don't let things so drown God out of your life because things are so tough that you don't hear him. He said he opens your ears in the time of adversity. Irrespective of what is going on, remember to honor him. Let every decision honor God. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30, he said, those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, I will do what? Lightly esteem. The Lord will honor you in Jesus' name. But honor begets honor. So if you honor God, he will honor you. That was what happened to that donkey that Jesus was riding. Because that donkey allowed Jesus to ride on it, he partook of the glory. You partake of the glory of the kingdom in Jesus' name. You see, the direction of the word of God is the direction of light and life. Wherever the word of God points you to go is the direction of light and life. Every cause that leads you away from that is darkness and death. The example that God gave me is the example of plants. If you darken the whole of this room and you leave just this small window here, and then you put a plant here, what will you find with time? It goes towards the light. Because that is where life is. The word of God is light. And it's life. We must grow towards the word of God, not away from the word of God. And he will prosper you in Jesus' name. God only works with the teachables. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20. It says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. In other words, suffers destruction. Who is the wise? We know who the wise is. Who is the wise? Who is the wise? God is wise. Yeah, there are people who are also wise. Praise the Lord, yes. The wise draw people to God, yes. Who else is wise? Praise the Lord, yes. People who fear God, they are the wise people. So if you walk with the wise, you walk with the people who fear God, you'll be wise too. You'll fear God. It's only a fool that says in his heart that there is no God. Anyone who is disobedient to God is saying in a way that there is no God. And if you walk with them, you are like them. But when you walk with the wise, you fear God, you will grow wise. And let me tell you who is. How do you know if somebody is wise? When the outcome of what they do is favorable, isn't it? If you say you are wise, you may be the wisest if your decision is always leading to failure of outcome. You are not wise. The wisdom is shown by the result it gets. And since God is the one who makes the difference, when you fear God, your result will show. What will look to the world like foolishness will then become wisdom. Because you are going to blossom. You will prosper. And people will say and wonder, how have you been doing it? But God makes the difference. He'll make the difference in your life in Jesus' name. Lastly for today, and this is very important, learn to derive approval and legitimacy from God. The perfect man will learn to do what? Learn to derive approval and legitimacy from God. In other words, what satisfies you, what gives you rest of mind, is when you have done the things of God, not when people approve of you. I think it's Luke chapter 6 verse 26, I'm not sure now. Jesus was talking about he was talking about approval of men. Was talking about approval of men. But for you, learn to derive approval and legitimacy. In other words, once you know you are pleasing God, let your mind be at rest. Let's open our Bible to Psalm 119 verse 23. Psalm 119 verse 23. He said, princes also sat and talked against me, but your servant meditated on your what are the statutes of God? The word of God. In other words, it doesn't matter who is talking. It doesn't matter who is conferring. It doesn't matter who has a different view. He said, princes, you know, the power brokers, the mighty ones, the people who they form their opinion. One time I understand some people gather themselves together and declare themselves the successful people in town. And a lot of people, if they don't behave in a way to satisfy those people, they don't think they are in the inner circle yet. You are a child of God. Don't live your life like that. You don't have to belong to anybody's inner circle to enjoy life. He said, princes speak against me. They are not even princes. They are self-appointed, successful people. He said, princes confer, they speak against me. He said, as for me, I do what? I meditate upon the statutes of God, the word of God. That is what we need to meditate upon. Stop seeking people's approval. Let me even tell you, the fool, the stupid man, who will always do what everyone tell them to do, people will still abuse him. They say he has got no mind of his own. If everything they tell you, you still do it, they will still say you have no mind of your own. So why don't you do that which will please God and let people say what they have to say? Because Hebrews chapter 12 verse 3 says, consider him, that is Jesus, who endures such opposition. He too, you know, let's go and read it. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 3. That is one of the bane of Christianity. We are so afraid we need to conform. In fact, the church itself, I'm not talking about individual, I'm talking about the body of Christ. That is one of the major problem that the body of Christ has today, because we want people's approval. We want, you see, the Bible says spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and we talk about people in town that they don't have the Spirit of God, yet we want them to pass judgment on the church. We want them to set the standard for the church. So if the people say we should jump, we jump. If the people say we should walk, we walk. If the people say we should lie down, we lie down. You see, how can we follow God that way when the people who don't have the Spirit of God are the people dictating what happens in the church? We are working hard to please the people of the world. When are you going to be yourself in Christ? If the world is the one setting the agenda, you see, the world will say, look, oh, they say, you see, church, they condemn people. And we too will say, oh, the church condemn people. Church condemn people. They'll give reason why they don't come to church, and we too will join them. Or the people in the church outside will say, oh, yeah, look, the people need, you know, there's really no right or wrong. And the people in the church too, we join them, they say there's no right or wrong, when the Bible is very clear. Or people outside the church will tell you that truth is relative, that the truth is in the eye of the beholder. And we too in the church will join them, we say there's nothing like truth anymore. When Jesus says, I am the truth, the way and the life. The word of God is the truth. Praise the Lord. We need to graduate from dependency on people's approval. Amen? We said last week, we said the conductor of the orchestra, what does he do? He turns his back to the people. Otherwise, he can never be successful. I'm not saying that we should have no feelings for people. I mean, if people need help, help and move on. Meditate upon the word of God. Hebrews 12 verse 3. That's where we're going. Because Jesus too was like that. Some people keep, you know, anyway, let's not go there. Jesus was like that. Hebrews 12 verse 3. He said, just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. Now, can you just read this very well? Who do you think this verse is talking about? Jesus. So in other words, he said Jesus endured from sinner grievous opposition and bitter hostility. Yet people in the church will say, if you are like Jesus, people will just be following you. People will just be loving you. That's not true. It's you who will be giving. It's you who will be giving. That was what Jesus did. He gave. This is the account of the Bible. I don't know where people got their own from. Most of the people who thronged the place where Jesus was, they came for what? They came to feed. They came for the miracles. They came to be healed. They came to be delivered. And he delivered them. So people will come to you because of the power of God in your life. They don't necessarily have to be your friends. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying please go and hate people, but what I'm saying is this. Because the moment they come to you and God uses you in their lives and you think that definitely they have to be your friend and they behave like their father behaves, then you become discouraged. Praise the Lord. But Jesus was doing what he had to do. And we have to do what we have to do. He faced so much contradiction. You can imagine you are dying for someone. You know, I mean, I've asked yours before, like somebody said. He said the day they decided that they should stone Jesus, I mean, they should crucify him. He said, where were the 5,000 people that were fed that day? If they stood on the other side, when these people say crucify him, and the 5,000 say don't crucify him, it would have been difficult for Pilate to decide. If there were 5,000 people on the other side, no, don't crucify him. He healed me the other time. He fed me the other side. He did this for me the other time. But what happened? They kept silent. And the people said, we want Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15. There's a little bit of gold there. Jeremiah 15, verse 19 to 21. I'll just show you something and then. He said, therefore, thus says the mistaken tone of distrust and despair. Then I will give you again a settled place of quiet and safety, and you will be my minister. If you separate the precious from the vile, that is cleansing your own heart from unworthy and unwarranted suspicion concerning God's faithfulness, you shall be my mouthpiece. But do not yield to them. Let them return to you, not you to the people. Can you hear that? In other words, stay the course, Jeremiah. Stay. Return to me. Stop doubting me. Stop doubting what God can do in your life. He said, don't doubt me. He said, don't go and negotiate with them. When you know something is not godly, don't, because of approval, go and negotiate in order to return to them. He said, but if you will do that, I will make you my mouthpiece. In other words, you will continue to minister before me. You will continue to minister before God in Jesus' name. He says, and I will make you to these people a fortified bronze wall. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail over you. For I am with you to save and deliver you, says the Lord. And I will deliver you out of the hands of the wicked, and I will redeem you out of the palms of the terrible and ruthless tyrants. The Lord will deliver you in Jesus' name. Let's dig for gold a bit. Let's go for gold again. What God will do in your life. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. Mark 4. Children of God, this is why when you come to church, you should go home rejoicing, because the Lord will justify you. When you hear the word of God like this, it should give you, you know, that confidence to go and take on the world and make victory out of the circumstances of life. What a good God we serve. How weighty are his promises. And the Bible has just told us that he never let go. He never considered anything as trivial. Have you heard some of the things we are looking at from the word of God? How weighty they are. And yet God will never forget them. Open to Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. This is the way God works in your life. This is the way God will work in your life. He says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Listen to this. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knew not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, Someone listening to that? First to what? The blade. How many of us have seen plants before? Corn. When it comes, you just see those two blades. We just spring forth. You say, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle because the harvest come. In other words, what God is going to do in your life is this. Look, it's going to be like, oh, nothing is happening, nothing is happening. And incrementally, it's called the law of progression. Incrementally, you will just see the power of God begin to explode in your life. First, the blade, it will come out. When you hear the word of God and you yield to it, first the blade, it will start to come out. And the strength of the Lord, which now becomes your own strength, will move you to higher height. He said, then the corn, you know, then the ear, and then the corn itself comes, and then the period of harvesting. Have you been waiting, thinking God has forgotten you? Have you been waiting, doubting the faithfulness of God? Like Jeremiah, remember. Let heaven applaud you. Don't wait for the earth to applaud you. And I will close with Deuteronomy chapter 25, the B part of it. The Bible says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know, there are some people who specialize in so-called vintage wine. The one that some people have stored for 50 years, they will buy it for thousands. I've never had that kind of, I've never drank one like that, but I want to believe that it must give a unique taste. And God is saying to you, as your days, so shall your strength be, in Jesus' name. You know, when some people are getting older, their influence will be decreasing. For you, as you are getting older, your influence will be becoming bigger and bigger. God will be extending the area of your influence. Amen. Your blessings will be becoming more and more. Amen. And I can give you examples of people like that. That as they are getting older, God will begin to do great and mighty things in their lives. Can you just rise up and let us pray? It will be your story. The perfecting of the saints. If we just trust in the Lord, He's forever faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just thank God for His word this afternoon? Just bless the name of the Lord. Please, can we just bring in the elements right now? Let's bring in the elements. Let's bring in the elements and share it. Thank you, Jesus. We just worship you. Begin to thank God for His word today. You should go home rejoicing, because we serve a God that cannot fail. We serve a God that is mindful of you. We serve a God who remembers you. We serve a God that is faithful. We serve a God who has purposed in His heart that He's going to do you good. We serve a God whose promises are yea and amen. Why don't you just bless the name of the Lord? Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word that has come forth this morning. Lord, the word is for the perfection and the equipping of the saints. My Father, my God, everyone that has heard from today, their focus is shifted from the world to you in Jesus' name. Lord, our service will be acceptable unto you in Jesus' name. Our thoughts, Lord, will please you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, our worldview, O God, will conform with your worldview in Jesus' name. From today, O Lord, I declare that these ones are blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we share the grace in fellowship?